see you. Please turn in your Bible to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. How many of you know, if I were to use the phrase trust fall, what I'm talking about? Okay. Trust fall. When somebody stands in front of you and they fall back and you catch them, they call that a trust fall. Has anybody ever heard of that or seen that before? Okay. So when a trust fall, how a trust fall works is you get somebody, you get a pair of people, and I almost asked for a volunteer this morning, but you get a volunteer or you have somebody standing behind you, and you stand there and you cross your arms, and somebody's leading this thing, and they say, okay, fall back. And what the person in front does, when everybody's getting set up, they kind of plant their feet, they cover, and they look back to see that the person's there, right? And when any of you have ever seen that, they always look back before they fall. And I thought that was an interesting thing as I began to think about this. Why do they look back? Right? Why do we look back? And here's the reason. Because when we exercise our faith, we want to put it in something. It's not blind faith. There's no such thing as blind faith. Because God's revealed himself through creation and through his word. And so this idea of you just have to trust God blindly is a lie. And so when we put our faith in something, or when we're going to exercise our faith, we put it in something. And so that's what we're going to be discussing this morning. And when we do that, when we finally do put our faith in something, it affects our behavior, right? And so we're going to continue in our study on the elements of a mature church, and we're going to be talking about faith this morning. We're going to be in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. Paul and Silvanus and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought always to give thanks to God for you, brethren, as is only fitting, because your faith is greatly enlarged, and the love of each one of you toward one another grows ever greater. Therefore, we ourselves speak proudly of you among the other churches of God, for your perseverance in faith in the midst of all your persecutions and afflictions which you endure. This is a plain indication of God's righteous judgment, so that you will be considered worthy of the kingdom of God, for which indeed you are suffering. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and I pray this morning as we dig in that you'll reveal yourself and you'll speak to us concerning faith and what our faith is and how our faith affects us. And Father, I pray that here there will be a genuine heart, open abandonment of faith to the God we know. Thank you for what you're doing. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to look at how our faith affects. It affects different things of our behavior. It affects our love, as he begins here. Paul said they ought to always thank God for the Thessalonians because their faith was greatly enlarged. Now, faith is this interesting thing, because in James it says without faith it's impossible to please God. And you say you have faith, I show you my works. Without works, faith is dead. So then what is faith? Is faith just saying, I believe you, God, and I believe what you say is true, and I'm confident in that, but I'm not going to act on it? That's not faith. Faith transpires at the moment that we say, God, you have said this, I believe it, and I'm going to act based upon that truth. That action, that step is faith. And so their faith in God caused them, it took place as the, it expressed itself in love for one another, in love for the body. Their faith was greatly enlarged. They learned by trusting God in the past that they could trust God in the present and future, and were walking in that confidence. And that's how it works. So as I learn, as God sees me through different things in my life, as he opens doors, as he shows me certain things, and that which seemed horrible at the moment, I realized was God's blessing. When I face things again that look horrible, I begin to look for the hand of God, and my faith is expressed in him, and I act based upon that because of the experience that I've had in the past with God, and I love. And so their love, and so their faith had been enlarged. And that's the only way faith can be enlarged. You know, we want to talk about a growing faith. That means we got to trust more and more and more without having all the answers. You know, we live in an environment today that wants to chart a path. And I'm very comfortable in that. The problem is, with that, it better be a path that God's laid out. And it's so easy to just chart a path and to do things to cause a church to grow or people to come. But it needs to be God's path, because God doesn't build the house, we build in vain. That's what his word says. And so I wonder how much we do for the Lord today that's in vain. And we know where vanity comes from. It comes from us. But the love, he said that they gave thanks for them. For the love that they had toward one another grew ever greater. Listen, when we do life together as a church family who shares a desire to walk in faith, we are each encouraged by our faith and how God is working in our brothers and sisters. That's how it works. And that deepens our love for one another. As I learn from you and you learn from me, as you share and reveal the difficulties of the things that you're facing, and I reveal mine, and we're there for one another, and we learn from each other, and we survive together, we each grow in faith. I can grow in my faith just by watching you. And hopefully, you can grow in your faith by watching me. And because of that, because I'm growing in my faith, because a deeper love for one another develops. Don't you love the people who helped you mature in the Lord? So do I. And we often think of that in lines of church leaders, but you know what? How do they grow then, if it's only that? It's not. It's all of us together. It is that, but it's us together. Listen, the smallest child could walk in here and teach us all a lesson, a simple faith. Right? Children have no fear. Ask a child, what do you want to be when they grow up? No, they tell you these things, and then as we grow older, our dreams become smaller and smaller for some reason. I don't understand that. I want to be dreaming of my future or dreaming of the present my whole life. I don't want to believe that God is limited. God is unlimited. And what a joy it is to walk and pursue him with all of you. Listen, their faith affected how they loved one another. And your faith impacts more than just you. So we don't ever think about that. We don't think about that. The decisions that I make and the things that people see in my life could change them. Say, well, this is just my journey and I'm going to do the best I can. And, you know, sometimes I'm going to have victories and sometimes I'm going to have failures. And most of that's true, right? It is your journey, and sometimes you're going to have victory and sometimes you're not going to have victory. But each one of those can be a victory, even when you succeed and when you don't succeed, based upon how you handle each one. How many of you ever missed a question on a test that you remember to this day what the right answer was? Right? For some reason, we remember what we do wrong more than what we do right. So maybe that's how we should pray. We should pray that you do it all wrong so you can remember everything. Please don't pray that. But it's crazy how it works that way. But see, as their faith grew as a group of people, their love for one another grew. And that's an element of a mature church. Because they understood that they're not going to quit each other. They understood that the value of God in the other person and what that means in their own life. And the things that you go through mean something in my life and in each other's lives. And that's how it works. And so faith affected their love. But faith affected their perseverance also. Paul, in verse 4, he said he was proud of them and shared their story in other churches. He shared their story. Because they had done, there's something going on here that was unique. And he said the reason for that, he gave a couple reasons. In the midst of persecutions and afflictions. Now I want you to understand, this is interesting. Aren't those the same thing? Isn't persecution and affliction the same thing? We kind of think of them the same way. They're not the same thing. Persecution is hostility or ill treatment. And so they were being mistreated because of their faith. They stood for Christ and faced opposition at work, in the community, with the government, because of their faith. It's how they were treated. Affliction has to do with pain and suffering. That's where it turned personal. One is how they were treated. One is what they were receiving. And so they had affliction, they had pain and suffering as well. And in the midst of that, they demonstrated faith and perseverance. And the reason is because their faith was genuine, and they were able to walk in confidence through terrible things. That's tough. But if our faith only sustains us when things are good, then what value does our faith have? If I can't trust God, if when the heat is on, I crumble and I split, or somebody says something that hurts my feelings and I quit God, or a pastor does something, God forbid, does something wrong or says the wrong phrase or says it the wrong way, and I quit, what good is my faith? Because let me let you know up front, I'm going to say it wrong, I'm going to do it wrong. And I'm going to be in there with you. Anybody else here ever say it wrong or do it wrong? Am I the only one? Thank you. We're all in this together. We all say it wrong and do it wrong. But if we all fix our eyes, where are they supposed to be fixed? On Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. See, we got to get our eyes off of one another unless we're learning something, right? We got to stop that. Let me tell you something. You don't build a church around a pastor. You don't build it around a music program, a style of music. You don't build it around the latest fad that's coming down or the newest thing that Lifeway's come up with. You build it upon His Word and on Jesus Christ. And if you don't build it that way, what are you doing? You're playing church. We build upon the rock.
Amen.
So that we may stand when the storms come. You know, it's so amazing to me. I meet people that are Christians, and they say they're Christians, but when you look, you see no evidence whatsoever of it. Zero. And you just have to wonder. So they had perseverance. Listen, faith is learned by facing difficult times, learning how God works with you in the midst of them, and choosing to rely on Him when you face future challenges. That's how it works. That's how faith is enlarged. Because He saw me through this and I didn't see any way. How can God see you through that? Well, let me tell you, because He saw me through it. Now, when I face something else, I remember. Listen, God can do anything. We have to get off of this mentality of trying to manipulate God or trying to get Him to come, or, and even through good behavior. Well, if I just act right, then God will swoop in. Listen, God has swooped in 2,000 years ago and saved you on the cross. He's already swooped in. We need to appropriate that new life in Christ. There's a whole sermon series that we ought to dig into as well. I hope somebody's making notes of all these things. Perseverance. True perseverance reveals a life of healthy, growing faith. That's where perseverance comes from. I persevere because I know God is in control. No matter what happens, He will show me the way. And He will deliver where I need to be delivered. And He will allow the other things that we would call not being delivered, where He's still working on me. And the deliverance, you know where the real deliverance comes from all of it? It comes in surrender. Because that's what He's after ultimately anyway. If you completely surrender your life to Him and get out of your own way, then the storm is no longer needed. See, the storm is the deliverance. See, we want to be delivered from the storm, and the storm is the deliverance. He's delivering us from ourselves. Aren't you glad you came? But it's true. We were talking about this in class, about how God will bring storms to deliver us from self-confidence so that He can be ever-present in our life. And if we don't come and if we don't listen to that, the storms are going to get you don't have to raise your hand on this one. Does it seem like sometimes the same storm keeps coming in your life? You think maybe God is trying to deal with something? Why do I keep going through the same thing over and over and over and over? Because Mark's unwilling to surrender. You wouldn't say that unless your name is Mark. I thought that was funny. Fill in your name here. So perseverance reveals a life of healthy, growing faith. And then in verse 5, he shares this moment. Growing faith affects our relationship with the Lord. Bless you. When we exercise genuine faith, God looks at our heart. He saves us, makes us worthy to be in a relationship with Him and participate in His kingdom. See, we're not worthy because of what we do. You're not worthy because of what you do. Because what you do ain't worthy. How could it be? We're made worthy. We're made in His image. We're made righteous. We have imputed righteousness, the righteousness of Christ. That's the only one that's acceptable. Our righteousness isn't acceptable. Yet we pursue it and we try to teach people how to have it. Does that make any sense? This is how you can be more righteous. You need to live this way. Now, I think it's important, the choices we make. Don't misunderstand me. But if you're doing it to achieve a relationship, you already have the relationship. If you're doing it to not allow obstacles in the relationship to where you can enjoy the fellowship, that's different. So when we exercise genuine faith, God looks at our heart, because that's where He judges from. He saves us, that's where it begins. He makes us worthy in that moment to be in a relationship with Him and participate in his kingdom. Now, that just means that we're Christian now, right? What does that mean, to participate in his kingdom? Well, his kingdom is what God is doing in the lives of people around you and in your life, right? That's the expression of the kingdom of God. That's why Jesus said, my kingdom has come. Because he is reigning. He is in charge. He is working around us. And if we're participating with him, then we're being sensitive and we're hearing his voice. And I know what my brother or my sister needs at that moment, or this person that I just met. You know, it's funny. I was actually doing something for all of you last night. I got a new battery in my watch to give all of you hope. And it took an hour to try to get the plate back on the back because we couldn't get it. And we sat there and it started out with like, have you ever been shopping and there's like nobody in the area to help you? And then you go find somebody. And by the time we were done, four people were over there trying to work on this thing. And it was the most interesting thing. And here, this may be a failure, may not be a failure. It never dawned on me for a moment that I had a captive audience. Here they were. They can't leave because they owe me a new watch. And so our moments like that come. I missed it. Either that or maybe I did what I was supposed to do. Faith is required for salvation. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. We are saved by grace through faith. Faith is required to be pleasing to God. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. That's a Hebrews 11, 6. How can we please him if we don't trust him? Listen, I'm going to please my wife, but I don't trust her at all. How can I be pleasing to her? Would that please any of you? That's ridiculous. Faith is required to engage in his kingdom. James 2:5 says this, listen, my beloved brethren, God did not choose the poor of this world to be rich in faith. Oh, sorry. Did not God choose the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? When you don't think you got it all, when it talks about the poor, it's not talking about money. It's talking about those who come to the realization that I don't have anything that I can bring. It's what he brings alive in me that has value. So hasn't God chosen those to be rich in faith and to be heirs of the kingdom? That's what he's talking about. And so our relationship with him develops just like that. See, only genuinely saved people are willing to suffer as a result of their love for the Lord. We know that from the soils, the parable of the soils. When the heat was on, when the root was shallow, it withered and died. Only that which is in the good soil survived. And so we have to be careful. We have to be careful. And listen, this is a good weeding out. Because there's going to be a lot of people that come through. You know, when I was in seminary, we learned a lot of things. But then when I went over to, we learned a lot about the Bible and what God was. Then I went to further training in church planning. And they said one of the things with a small church plant is the enemy will send people who want to be a big fish in a small pond. You have to be aware of that. The people that where in another church would never get a second look, but if they come in, they can be elevated into leadership positions. And you have to be sensitive to what God is doing. And so there's going to be people like that that come in at all sizes that are about them and they're not about Jesus. And we as a church body need to be able to recognize that and protect our heart. And so realize this, when the heat's on, they're gonna flake out on you. You ever had somebody tell you they're a Christian and then when it came time to stand for Christ, you couldn't find them? Faith is the beginning, the middle, and the future of a vibrant relationship with the Lord. We begin in faith, we go through sanctification in faith, and we have faith that He's coming again one day to deliver us from this world of sin. He says, as you receive me, so walk ye in me. And it's so funny. I love that verse because it helps me so much. And here's how it helps me. I remember the moment where I said, I give up. I turn my life over to you. And that's how we're supposed to walk every day. And I say, hey, God, fill this. Do this. You know, we're doing this for you. Empower it. Man, we do that, don't we? Churches do that all the time. God, we ask your blessings upon this. Wait a minute. God's blessing follows God's plan. So once we figure out what His plan is, we say, thank you for your plan. We are blessed to be a part of it. And then act. And pray for wisdom that you don't get off track and start taking the... I'm the worst at this. God will be running with the baton. And He'll put it in my hand. And now we're running together. In that moment, I'm exactly where I need to be. And I go, whoop! And I go running and God's over there. Don't we do that? Just show me what you want, Lord. I'm off like a shot. Well, wait a minute. The Lord wants to run with you. This is a three-legged race, not a relay. That's what He wants. He wants to run with us. We're like, I hate three-legged races. Like... But you know, when you're in sync with the Lord, you can run at a full clip. If He wants to run at a full clip. But if you try to run at a full clip when He's standing still, right? We're so conditioned that we have to be somewhere. If I'm tied to the Lord, where better could I be? Where better could I be? It's the relationship. And faith is a huge important part of that. So let's each take an honest look at our faith this morning. What's keeping you from putting your faith in Christ? Do you have doubts about Him? You know, I know He can do that, but I don't know if He can do this. You know, this is kind of big. Or God doesn't really have control over that. We wouldn't say that. Well, what if the person making the decision isn't surrendered to the Lord? We can go back to Pharaoh, and we can go back to other ones. Nebuchadnezzar. We don't have to be surrendered to the Lord for him to control their actions. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. He steers nations by his own will. Because I don't think these people are going to just do whatever they want to do. You fear, or you have a fear of having to give something up? Well, that's a big one. Lord, I want to walk in faith, but I'm afraid if I put myself, if I say everything, and what we say, I surrender all, but we don't let go of some things, right? Let's be honest. Come on, let's strip this. Let's, hey, this is us. This is the early service. So we say, I surrender all, but this. We won't say that, we just say, I surrender all. But we hold on to that thing. But Pastor, now you're meddling into an area that I don't want to go. Or I don't want to turn loose of. And then there'd be those super godly people say, oh, well, you should just let go of it, brother. Just let it go. You can do it. It's so simple. Just follow me. I'll pray for you. And And the truth is, there's a reason that you don't want to surrender. You're afraid God will take it away. So we have to, and I'm in there with you. We have to address if whether or not we are willing to turn over our love for this in our relationship with Him. And we all want to say yes. There's something inside of us that says, I want to do that. But I don't want to do that. So what's keeping you from putting your faith in Christ? Realize you're putting your faith in something. So our faith is being exercised. It just may not be in the Lord. So if we're going to take an honest look, we have to address what's keeping us from putting our faith in Christ. We have to address if you trusted Him for your salvation. Listen, our decision to walk in faith will follow that same pattern. And it's a conscious decision to say, you know what? I cannot go back to a time where I put my faith and trust in you. And I said, it's not about being a good person. It's not about going to church. It's not about all these things. It's about me being a sinner and you rescuing me. Have you ever done that? Have you ever put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? If you haven't, this could be the day. And if you're getting nervous, you're the one I'm talking to. Because we all get nervous. And whoever you go to talk with and pray, if you decide to step out of faith, they're going to be nervous too. But that's okay too. If we're going to take an honest look, we have to allow God to bless others by sharing our journeys and how God worked through them. Your story is meant to encourage others to grow in faith. Let it. Well, people will hurt you. Is that a true statement? Yeah, it's a true statement. We hurt Jesus. So people are going to hurt me. I am going to wall myself in so people can't hurt me. And I'm going to put a peephole in there. I'm not even going to put a little door because then they can poke me in the eye when I look through it. I'm going to build and I'm going to erect. And when I see this in my mind, I picture cinder blocks and concrete and rebar going into this and time spent and mixing and building foundations and so nobody can hurt me. But nobody can bless me either. And I can't bless anybody else. You know, Dave Ramsey class, and we need to do that class again. I know some of you are interested. Says this. If you hold the money that you're a steward over with an open hand. Yeah, some can get away, but more can come in. If you hold it like this, God's going to take what's His, but no more is ever going to get in there. It has to do with the heart. And so we have to be careful. We need to let our story be a blessing to other people. You know, I read a story about a young boy who was applying for a job at the local newspaper office. And he went in and the guy asked him, can you type? And he goes, no. This is, y'all know what a newspaper is? He was applying at this paper and they said, can you type? He said, no. Can you run a printing press? And the kid said, no. And he said, well, young man, what can you do? And the young man, he stood up and he looked at him and he says, I can do what I'm told. And he hired him on the spot. It's a lost art today. You see, that's all faith is, ladies and gentlemen. It's doing what we're told. And trusting that God has His best things for you. That's what faith's about. It's about responding to Him. The biggest enemy to faith is having confidence in yourself. Well, I'm really, you know what? How many of you have a weak area? How many of you trust and rely on that to see you through life? On your weak area? Nobody. How many of you have areas of strength? Only half of you. The other half has nothing. No strengths, nothing. Come on, we all have areas of strength. Our problem with that is we put our faith in that to see us through life. Well, I'm a good negotiator, so, or I'm really good at accounting, so, or I'm a really good singer, or I'm a really good at talking with people, so. Or I'm really good with children, so I'm going to. And we put our confidence in the gifts of God instead of the God of the gifts. Because you know what? Whatever my strengths are, God can take them away like that. My gifts, whatever I am, have been implanted here by God. And I need to stop trusting them and start trusting Him. And that's the crossover point. Look, I want to be part of a mature church. I want to be a part of a church that only does it God's way, is uncompromising on His world, that genuinely loves each other, genuinely loves the world, and we care about them. So when they come in here, we don't just sit there and greet each other, but we all flock and we swarm them. If they get uncomfortable because we're that friendly, then I'm okay with that. But if they get uncomfortable because nobody spoke to them, then we have a problem. We have a calling, ladies and gentlemen. And I intend on accepting it and walking in it and not backing down. If I'm the last man standing, I'll be the last man standing. But this ain't ever going to be compromised to the best of my ability. Doesn't mean I'm perfect. But if I've said something and it doesn't line here and we find it, then Mark's going to recant what he said and I'm going to align myself with God's word. This is all I've got. And I want to be a part of a place like that. I want to be part of a group of people who genuinely love that when I trip and fall, you all come help pick me up and put band-aids on. And when I get the opportunity to do the same for you, hoping that you never trip and fall, but life is life. And we're called to faith. We're called to walk in faith and to share our faith and let our faith be seen. We're not called as islands. God said it's not good for man to be alone. We're called together. We're better together than we ever are by ourselves. And so what is keeping you from walking in faith this morning? I'm going to be sensitive to the voice of God and say yes when He speaks. What's keeping you from that? I would encourage you to deal with that this morning. Man, I know I'm on sacred ground here. Because I'm having to deal with it too. I don't like it any more than you do. But I know it's true. And the reason I don't like it is I'm not aligned. That's the only reason. That's the only excuse there can be. And it was true for me. So I'm asking everybody to bow their head and close their eyes. I'd ask you this question: what has God spoken to you about this morning?